Good morning. I think you can do a little better than that. Good morning. Ah, there it is. It is indeed a good morning, and we are glad that you are here. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor among us, we're especially glad that you're here. We invite you to sign in on the attendance pads at the end of each pew and give us your contact information so that we can be in touch with you. I have a few announcements this morning that I'd like to highlight. Every Wednesday from November 1st through March 31st, West End provides food and shelter for 12 homeless men through the Room in the Inn ministry, and we are in need of your help. Please stop by the table in Reed Hall through the doors to your right and find out how you can volunteer and sign up to host one Wednesday. Our senior high youth will be going on a mission trip to Bahamas Methodist Habitat next summer. You heard that right, Bahamas. There is an information session being held tonight from 4 to 5 p.m. in the Youth Center, and all youth who are interested are invited to come. Our Tize service will be held this evening at 5 p.m. in the theater around the Labyrinth. This is a service of quiet prayer and reflection, and all are invited. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Come, ye that love the Lord, and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord, and the song from the throne, and the song from the throne. God has called us to pray without ceasing. God has promised to hear us and respond with favor. God fills our hearts to overflowing with love and grace. In the midst of our sin and our strife, God promises new life for those who will cry out to God for help. Let us now confess our sins as we pray together the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we acknowledge that we have not given you our whole hearts. We confess that we have withheld parts of ourselves from you. We know that we sometimes hide in our shame. But you embrace us in our weakness, and you call us forth to new life. Grant us courage to be the people that you have called us to be. Open our hearts to receive all your blessings, and to have the fullness of life that you promise. Through the generosity of God, our confession is heard, and we are forgiven, restored, and equipped to boldly use our gifts in the world. Thanks be to God. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, William Thomas Husky and Claudia Zara Husky bring their son, William Liam Kenneth Husky, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. I need a book of worship here, if you would. There's a page missing. We'll get all these questions in, don't worry. Okay, now, Claudia and Bill, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and live a Christian life? Okay. Now, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Nurtured in the water of a womb, he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Well, Liam, will you come to me? Huh? Here we go. What name is given this child? William Kennan. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want to lay hands on me? May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. And now you get to go back to Mommy. Here we go. You all come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend William Kenneth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks, for all that God has already given you, William Kenneth, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now a lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God.
may be seated, and I'd like to invite any kids or young at heart to come forward, and you're welcome to bring a parent or friend with you if you'd like. Good morning. I want to tell you a story about a time when I was scared. Have you ever been scared? No? Never? Wow. Sometimes, yeah. Do you think these folks have ever been scared? Would you all raise your hands if you've ever been scared? Yeah, that's what I thought. I think everybody has been scared sometimes. Yeah. So, when I was a kid, my family moved to a new town. And that meant I had to go to a brand new school where I didn't know anybody. And I was kind of shy, and it took me a long time to make friends and get to know people, and I was really scared. And the closer it got to the first day of school, the more scared I got. And finally, the night before, I started to cry. And you know what then happened? My parents asked me to talk about it with them. And I told them about how scared I was. What if the teacher was mean? What if the kids didn't like me? What if I never made any friends? And we talked about it. And you know what? I started to feel a little better. I was still scared, and I was still really scared when I walked into the room that first day. But I knew that my family loved me, and I knew that God was with me. And you know what happened? A girl came up to me, and she introduced herself, and then she took me around and introduced me to all the other kids in the room. And at recess, she invited me to play with her, and at lunchtime, she invited me to sit with her, and we became best friends. Sometimes when we're sad or scared or we're feeling bad about something, it really helps if we tell somebody that we trust. It might be a parent or a grandparent. It might be a teacher. It might be a pastor. But sometimes it's really helpful when we talk about what we're feeling. Can we have a prayer? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you love us, that you're always with us, and that there are safe people we can trust who we can tell how we're feeling. And we thank you that that can help us feel better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A pastor friend of mine tells the story of when she was serving a small country church a while back. One morning, she was listening to the prelude, and as pastors sometimes do, she took count of who was in the congregation. There were some visitors, probably family members of some of the members, and then there were most of the regulars. As they moved into the call to worship and then the opening hymn, out of the windows at the rear of the sanctuary, she could see a station wagon drive into the parking lot and park. She knew who that station wagon belonged to. It was a family of five, two parents and three rambunctious kids. She watched for them to get out of the car and come in, but they didn't. Meanwhile, worship continued, and the car just sat there. And then, just as my friend was about to get up to preach, the car pulled out of the parking lot and drove away. Now, be honest. How many of you have done that very same thing? No? Or maybe you didn't even make it to the car, let alone the church parking lot. Sometimes it's just too hard to get it together. You didn't have time to do your laundry, so you have no clean clothes to wear. The kids won't put their shoes on, or they won't quit fighting. You and your partner just had a huge argument, and the last thing you want to do is sit next to them and singing Kumbaya and pretend that everything is fine. Ah, yes. We've all had those mornings. Or weeks, or years, We all have stuff that we're dealing with, whether it's stuff of our own making or the curveballs that life sends our way. And sometimes it's just easier to stay in the car or stay at home rather than show up with all of our baggage. I'll be honest. There was a season in my life not too long ago when going to church felt like a huge chore. Putting on nice clothes, putting a smile on my face, pretending that I was happy to be there, it just felt like too much. And if it hadn't been for the fact that it is my job to be at church, I probably wouldn't have made it out the door. But where did we get this notion that we have to have it all together before we can show up at church? Who says that we have to be wearing clean clothes? Who says that the kids have to have both of their shoes on? Who says that we can't be harboring some resentment for a loved one when we get here? Where did we get this idea that we have to check our baggage at the door? Somewhere along the way, for many of us, putting on our Sunday best began to mean covering up our warts and scars, whether they're literal or figurative. And yet, I don't think that's what Jesus ever intended for his church. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. He didn't say, blessed are those who have it all together. Blessed are those who look good and feel good. Blessed are those who are healthy, wealthy, and wise. Sometimes I think the Beatitudes are read as if they're a prescription for individuals to be happy. In fact, you may have read translations that say, happy are the peacemakers. But the Beatitudes were actually written in the indicative mood rather than the imperative mood. For those of you who don't remember the ins and outs of grammar, I had to look it up. That means that Jesus isn't telling us what to do so much as he is describing the objective reality of the Christian community. He's telling us what the community of faith is like. In other words, the community of faith is made up of people who are merciful, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it is also made up of people who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, and who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Christian community is made up of people who struggle, who long for a day when things will be better. In a recent sermon, pastor and author Nadia Boltz-Weber said that she likes to imagine Jesus standing around us and offering us lavish blessings, new blessings, like these. She says, blessed are they who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are the motherless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who no one else notices. Blessed are the losers, the babies, and the parts of ourselves that are so small. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are the refugees. Blessed are the foster kids and trophy kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Friends, this is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, you and me, all of us together. And we hurt sometimes, and we struggle sometimes, and we can't always get it together, and yet Jesus calls us blessed. Blessed can mean happy, but it also means well-being and peace and salvation. It's not a blessedness in that everything's perfect right now, because it's not, and I don't think that we need to pretend that it is. Instead, it's a blessedness that offers healing and hope in the midst of our very real struggles. after all. The one offering the blessing knows what it is to doubt, to grieve, and to suffer. It's a blessedness that points to the future, that reminds us that our struggles will not last forever, that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's a blessedness that reminds us that we're not alone. Recently, I was at a fundraiser for a ministry, and on each of the tables throughout the room were porcelain elephants. As one of the speakers explained, these figurines represented all of the real elephants in the room that day, the things that people struggle with that they keep to themselves. Their hope, the speaker said, was to help people name those elephants so that they didn't have to suffer in silence. Isn't that what the church should be about? So often we try to hide or minimize what we're going through, but this is exactly the place where we should be able to talk about these things. This is exactly the place where we should find safe spaces to name our elephants and caring and compassionate people who will honor our stories, who will keep confidences, and who will pray for us. Francesca Battistelli is a Christian singer and songwriter who recently released a new song called If We're Honest. Listen to some of the words. I'm a mess, and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do is bring your brokenness, and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side, if we're honest, if we're honest. Friends, let's be honest. Let's be honest with our hurts and hang-ups, our fears and failures, our inadequacies and our insecurities. Let's be honest about all of who we are. Is it scary? You bet. We all know what can happen when we're vulnerable with people who don't honor the sacredness of our sharing. But when we're brave enough to show up and be honest in a safe place, we give others permission to do the same. And God has called West End United Methodist Church to be one safe place. God has called us to be a community of faith where we listen without judgment, where we offer care and encouragement, where we support one another and pray for one another. This already happens in so many Sunday school classes and Bible studies and covenant discipleship groups. It happens in our choirs and in 12-step groups. And it happens one-on-one between friends and with clergy. And if it hasn't happened for you here, I hope that you will reach out to one of us. Because we want this to be a safe place for everyone. And sometimes we all need a gentle reminder that we are the ones whom Jesus called blessed. Reverend Ray Buckley is a member of the Lakota Native American tribe. He describes one of the seven sacred rites of the Lakota people in which familial relationship is extended to others. This making of relatives, as it is called, is not done recklessly or carelessly, but it's done with great reverence because it's understood to be a sacred responsibility. Buckley says, one assumes the care of, responsibilities for, and love of the ones who they have adopted. Thereafter, they are truly related. It's not a we are like sisters relationship, but rather a we are sisters relationship. Buckley goes on to describe what this looks like. It's a traditional setting, he says. I am standing in front of you so that you are able to see my face and my person. I say to you, I am standing with you. See, there is nothing between you and me. In this moment, for this day, we will call each other standing with nothing between. I know your belovedness, not perfection or even rightness, belovedness. Embraced by the one which, having all, knowing all, chooses to love you. The oil from your hands, the texture of your hair, the sound of your voice in your language. I recognize and need the belovedness for my spiritual growth. It is the beginning of seeing each other through the eyes of God. We have agreed that we are in this for good, completely together in prayer. Like God, I have scratched your name upon the palm of my hand as a sign of how much I have chosen to love you. Friends, over the next several weeks, we're going to practice naming some of the elephants in the room. We're going to practice being honest. Some brave folks are going to stand before us and share their stories, and I know that you will recognize their belovedness and receive their stories with love and grace. Over the next several weeks, we're going to practice showing up, warts and scars and all. And we're going to remember that we are the body of Christ, you and me, all of us together. We are standing with nothing between people. Not perfect, not without our struggles, but always beloved and always blessed. May we always remember who we are. Amen. I'd like to introduce you now to Robin Moore. She's one of those brave folks that I mentioned, and she's going to share her story with us this morning.
Good morning. Almost exactly 2 years ago, I had to disconnect my precious boyfriend from life support. 5 days later, his only child, his namesake, died of ALS in Memphis, leaving behind a wife and 3 children. Because of my relationship with God, 2 12-step programs I'm in, this church, the grief center at Alive Hospice, I'm still sober from alcohol and abstinent from abusing food and sugar. I tell you this not because I'm morally superior, far from it. I have no willpower to not practice these behaviors. I have no faith to rely on that gets me through this. But what I'm learning is by admitting my powerlessness over people, places, and things, that makes room for God to come into my life and for me to be able to be in relationship with other people. There are different definitions of addictions. The one that seems to make the most sense to me is an addiction is something that causes me to compromise my values, something that medicates my feelings, and something that blocks God and makes me think that I'm God. I've always had problems with food, start a diet every Monday, couldn't stop eating. And some people call compulsive overeating and undereating as the good girl's disease, although men still have the same struggles. I was always trying to be perfect and no trouble to anyone. Now, food addiction and being a member of Overeaters Anonymous is not sexy. Marlon Brando or James Dean never did a movie of anybody eating food out of the trash can, or making multiple trips through a drive-through to binge. I realized I had a problem with alcohol when I quit eating sugar, and since there's sugar in alcohol, it was suggested that for me, that be something I stop, and I couldn't. I was so surprised that that was an issue. I still didn't get it when I was fired from a job because I got drunk at a company party and told my boss what I thought of her. I drove home drunk 15 miles through a construction site to my house. It's amazing that I didn't hurt somebody else or myself. My faith and my church I grew up in didn't fill up the holes in my soul. Addictions or disease. It's an allergy to the body, It's an obsession to the mind and a spiritual sickness where I think I am God and I don't need any God or anybody else. I tried to control everything and everybody around me for my comfort, and I thought if everybody would just do as I say, then I wouldn't have to drink. I believe that 12-step programs and recovery are the purest form of church. I don't know who this quote is attributed to, but it's been said that organized religion is for those who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for those who've been there. I have an addict's brain. It's constantly chattering. I all the time think I'm one up on somebody or one down. I forget the definition of humility, which is being teachable and being on the same level as everyone else. I have to admit my powerlessness. I have to turn over my will every day, sometimes many times a day. My will has been described as my thoughts, my beliefs, and my actions. I turn this over to a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. Part of the 12 steps is doing a fearless and moral inventory. We put aside the wrongs of others. I got really hung up on that part. And do a personal house cleaning. I had to deal with my resentments. I had no idea how eaten up with resentments I was. Some people say that carrying a resentment is like eating rat poison and waiting for the other person to die. Driven by 100 forms of fears, absolutely crippling depression that is still very difficult, and now the grief over Paul. In 12-step programs, we have a sponsor, and it's a person just like us who's trying to learn to live life on life's terms. They're not therapists, and then I in turn sponsor other people because I've learned I can't keep it unless I give it away. Sharing my faults with another person is unbelievably humbling, but it turned out to be not humiliating. It made me feel less isolated. Another important part of the 12 steps are making amends. It's so wonderful to be able not to dread who's going to call or what's in the mail from a bill collector. I'm also learning to pray for the people I resent. It was suggested that I pray for that person the things I want for myself. I cannot tell you how miraculous this practice is. We're told to practice these principles in all our affairs. Through Al-Anon, I've learned there are four practices I need to refrain from: mothering, manipulation, martyrdom, and managing. I thought, who am I going to be if I don't do those? I pray for the willingness to do the right thing, and I pray for the willingness to see the next right thought or action. I'm learning that some needs only God can fill, not another person or a substance. This past Friday, we took our mother, who's 88 and still drives and still works, and the doctor said she's in the early stages of Alzheimer's. I have a lot of fear around that, fear about more loss, but I've got more tools than I've ever had before. That doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. If anyone sitting here today wonders if they have an addiction problem or if they love someone who does, who's actively using, their programs for these issues in the white pages or online. In our meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. We don't give advice. In closing, I really hope that our church will return to offer the hospitality to other 12-step groups as we have before when the construction is done. I encourage us all to show our vulnerability and our imperfections and support each other and see our church as a hospital for healing inside and outside these walls. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Robin. Would you stand as you are able? Let us affirm our faith together. Number 883 in the hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Chris, and I'm one of the associate pastors here at West End. And we welcome all who gather with us for worship this morning. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special welcome to you. We are glad that you are here, and we hope you will join us for a time of coffee and fellowship following the service in Reed Hall, which is just out the doors to your right here. And when you leave worship today, there will be Andrew ministers to greet you at the doors. You can identify these Andrew ministers by their blue name tags. They'll be glad to help answer any questions you may have. If you are a student, whether an undergraduate or a graduate student, you're invited to join our student community for lunch and faith discussion following this worship service today. They'll also gather in Reed Hall, which is just out these doors. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. And on one side of this card, you can make any comments that you would like to pass on to the staff here at the church or to lay leadership. And if you would like an email or a phone call back about these comments, please include your contact information. And then on the reverse side of this card, there's a place where you can indicate prayer requests, and you can mark whether these should be held confidentially among the pastoral staff or to be shared with the entire congregation. I invite you now to also take a moment, if you haven't already done so, to record your attendance with us. If you'll pass the attendance pad that's towards the center aisle of each pew, down to each of those that are on the pew with you. And I invite you to also then pass those attendance pads back down the rows, and you're more than welcome to take a peek of who's worshiping with you and greet those that are sitting around you. This morning, there's a rose on the altar, and it's in the celebration of the birth of Lydia Mary Humphrey, who was born October 5th to Seth and Anna Humphrey and her big brother, Sam Humphrey. And we offer sympathy this morning to Pam Rice and her family, who are mourning the death of her father, John William Clapp Jr., who died this past Wednesday, October 12th, in Kingsport, Tennessee. We now prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we rejoice that you hear our prayers before we speak and answer before we know our need. Although we cannot pray as we ought, may your Spirit pray within us, drawing us to you and towards our neighbors. We pray for the whole of creation. May all things work together for good. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. May it be engaging and active, doing your will. We pray for peace in the world. Disarm weapons, silence guns, and put out hate. We pray for enemies, as Christ commanded, for they are also children of your love. We pray for world leaders. Keep them hopeful and work with them for peace. We pray for those who are dying, who face the final mystery. May they retain their dignity and greet death unafraid, believing in your love. We pray for those whose tears are not yet dry. In their loss, may they affirm all your promise in Jesus, who prepares a place for us within your spacious love. We pray for people who are alone, who have no one to call. May they be remembered, befriended, and know of your care for them. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us now join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we cry out, God helps us without delay. From God's abundance, God has given us love and grace freely. Let us now respond to God's presence in our lives by offering our gifts to God.
friends, may we go forth this week remembering that we are standing with nothing between people. We are beloved and we are blessed. May we remember that so that we might be blessings to others. Now go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.